Okay, we're winding up our series on Galatians today. This has been a 9-week series, and we've been looking at how the Apostle Paul has continued to just pound into these folks in Galatia and to us today too, that we are people who are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. Today we're at chapter 6, and we're going to be looking at a basic life principle today. You know, there are some basic principles in life that are just inescapable. They are things that, whether you believe them or not, they're going to happen. They're basic principles that you just can't fight. They just are. For example, the law of gravity, right? You can't fight it. It just is. Whether you agree with the law of gravity or not, it's there. Things fall down. Now, with the law of gravity, we know it's there. Hopefully, we accept its reality, and so we leverage it. We leverage it so that we can stay grounded or so that we can fly. There's the Archimedes principle of buoyancy, that a buoyant force is equal to the displaced liquid. You all remember that from ninth grade science, I'm sure. The idea is with that some things float and some things sink. Archimedes didn't invent the principle of buoyancy. He discovered the principle of buoyancy, and ever since then, we've been leveraging it to understand how we can help make things float. Today, we're going to look at another principle, another law that God has put in place that is also a principle that is axiomatic. That means it is self-evident, it's unquestionable. It's the law, the principle of sowing and reaping. God, again, has put this in place just as he has the law of gravity, just as he has Archimedes' principle of buoyancy. It's the idea that people reap what they sow. With farming, we get it clearly. You sow kale seeds, you're going to reap kale. You don't sow kale seeds and then, watermelons came up. It's just not going to happen. Whatever seeds you sow will determine what you harvest. It may take time. In fact, it does take time. But what you reap eventually does come up. The point is that it's not the reaping that determines the harvest. It's the sowing that determines the harvest. And the law of sowing and reaping is as unstoppable in the moral and spiritual realm as it is in the agricultural realm. We look at it and we say, well, of course, that's just silly to even talk about the idea that if you plant a kale seed, you're going to get anything but kale that comes out of the ground. We accept that. But what we've also got to come to the place of accepting is that God has set this principle, this law, in place in terms of how things work in our lives. It's a principle of returns and how to get returns on how we live life. Let's read what we're talking about here in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 to 10. Again, this is the Holy Spirit speaking through the Apostle Paul. He says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will, from the flesh, reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will, from the Spirit, reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially those who are of the household of the faith." Again, this is about how we live out the Christian life with sowing and reaping in place as a principle. This points out two things. It points out, number one, why some things are what they are in our lives. You've got some things in your life that are good. And I think if you look at the why behind that, you'll see that there's been a certain sowing that's gone in to make those things good. On the other side of it, you can be kind of screwed up right now in your life. Things are a mess, and you want to find out why, go back and look what's been sown. Now, the other thing that comes from this, though, is that in addition to pointing out why some things are as they are in life, it tells us how to change the way some things are in our lives. And that is, if you don't like what you've been reaping, you change what you're sowing. Simple as that. Now, I want to put that in at the beginning, and I'm going to close with that at the end. Because in the middle here, some of you might be going, wow, I have screwed up so bad. I have sowed so many bad seeds. I have done this, that, or the other. I mean, how can I ever expect to reap anything but the wind? Well, because we've got a God who oversees the reaping, the harvesting, the sowing. He oversees with a supernatural impartation to us through the Holy Spirit that ability to change what we do, to change what we sow, and therefore to bring about a different result in terms of what we're going to be reaping. God has given us this principle, though, and we need to learn to leverage it. Just like we learn to leverage gravity, just like we learn to leverage Archimedes' principle of buoyancy, we need to learn to leverage this principle of sowing and reaping. And if we do, or if we don't, there are consequences. Now, just like with a lot of scripture, we can learn a lot from Rocky. I mean, from the Rocky movies. Between the Rocky movies and Karate Kid, I mean, you can learn so much of really what the Bible has to say. For example, with Rocky, what happens? Well, in Rocky 2, Rocky trains hard. Rocky works hard. Rocky sows into this preparation for his title bout with Apollo Creed, and he takes him down. He beats Apollo Creed in Rocky 2. He's world champion, world heavyweight champion in boxing. And then what happens? Well, in Rocky 3, Mr. T comes along. He's called Clubber Lang in Rocky 3. And what's going on with Rocky? Well, Rocky's living the life of leisure. I mean, he's kicked back. He's enjoying the pleasures and the profits that come from being world heavyweight champ, and no training involved. And he goes into the ring with Clubber Lang with Mr. T, and what happens? Mr. T takes him down. He loses. What's the difference? The difference is what he sowed. He reaped what he sowed. It's the same idea, you know, with us all the way through in terms of how we handle what we think about what God has said. But wait, you say. You're listening to this so far and you're going, I've been here for all 8 weeks before this. And what we kept reading that Paul said was that it's all about grace, that we're saved by grace through faith, that we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus alone, and there's no works that we can do to add to our salvation. And this sounds a whole lot like works. Well, it is a whole lot like works because we are talking about works. But this is where distinctions have to come in. And this is where we've got to be able to rightly divide the word, because what we're looking at here is the idea that we are truly saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus alone. And Paul was talking about that over and over and over again during the first four, maybe five chapters of Galatians. He was referring to our justification. That is, that we're declared just, we're forgiven, we're loved, we're accepted by the Father, not by what we do, but by what Jesus has done. We are, in a sense, reaping what somebody else sowed. Jesus sowed his life, his blood, and we are reaping the benefits of that. But as we looked at a couple of times through the series, our salvation is made up of three parts: justification, sanctification, and glorification. Justification is that matter of being declared righteous by God, by grace, through faith in Jesus. It is through that justification that we're forgiven by God, we're loved by God, we're accepted by God, and we are adopted by God. He becomes our Father, and we are called sons and daughters. It's something that will never be taken away from us. It's a new identity. It is our who. That's who we are, sons and daughters. And you're not going to screw up, mess up, blow it enough in order for God to kick you out of the family. Not going to happen. With our justification in place, we have the Holy Spirit in us, the DNA of God. And that equips us and gives us the ability to do things we couldn't do before, to make choices that we wouldn't make before. And we have moved into this process that's called sanctification, that is living this life as a son or daughter of God. And in sanctification, this is where some doing comes in, some work comes into play in terms of how we choose to live life out. And then we die, or Jesus comes again, and that's where glorification comes into play, where there is in the the inability to sin, and there's no working that's required for us any longer. It's the idea, again, that we need to see this works thing in relationship to how it affects each of these particular parts of our salvation. Again, part one, justification. Jesus is our righteousness. When we're united to Christ by faith alone, God counts his deeds as ours. He is our righteousness. Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Second, the sanctification. We work out our salvation by the power of the Spirit. Let's take a look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, because it's God who is at work in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. These works are works to bear the fruit of the Spirit. We're not earning our salvation through these works. That's been established in justification. We're not earning our salvation in sanctification, but we are confirming our salvation. We're confirming who we are, that we are different people, that we are born again, that we've been changed by this grace of God. And then number three, again, the glorification. How does works play into that? Because in the glorification stage, that's when we're standing before the throne, and God is going to reward us according to our good works. Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians 5:10, just for one verse on that. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done. His work, whether good or bad. Now, a lot of people get all tweaked with this whole idea of rewards. I've heard so many people tell me, don't talk to me about rewards. I don't care about rewards. If I just get to see the face of Jesus, or as long as I make it into heaven and don't go to hell, that's reward enough for me. Good for you. I mean, certainly it's better to go to heaven than hell. I agree with that. But God, the one who created you, the one who created heaven, has said that there is some distinctions that do happen in heaven depending on how we live out this life, depending on what we do. There are rewards in place. So I don't know how it all works. I don't know what those rewards exactly will look like, but if rewards are transferable and you don't want yours, I'll take it. I mean, the idea is, there's something here that we're supposed to be holding on to, and it's supposed to be, as simplistic, as crass as it may sound, like a carrot on a stick in front of a donkey. It's the idea that it's supposed to motivate us. It's a part of the motivation that's supposed to come in. Yes, we've got desires that are changed by the Holy Spirit, but apparently there's some additional motivation that comes into play that God decided is necessary with that. Again, the whole idea here is that we need to keep our who and our do straight. We talked about this the first week. Your do, what you decide to do or what you choose to do, does not determine your who. Your who is by grace through faith in Jesus. But our who, then changes our ability in the area of the do. And your do is what you sow. Your do is how we sow to make a difference in what comes out in our life. So Galatians 6, verses 7 to 10, is about how to live the Christian life that we've been given by grace through faith. How we are, as James 1:22 said, doers of the word. How we're supposed to be doers of the word. The point is, you and I have choices as believers. We've got the choice to walk in the Spirit or the choice to walk in the flesh. Yes, born-again believers can still sin. Yes, born-again believers, some can sin more than others, and some can do better than others. But the choice, the capacity is there for all of us to make the decisions, and the consequences in this life flow from the decisions, the choices that we make. So let's look at the practical application of this. Number one, first thing in looking at this and getting any benefit from it is that we've got to accept the principle of sowing and reaping. I mean, if you don't accept it as real, then you're not going to be in a place to leverage it. It's only by accepting gravity that you don't kill yourself. It's only by accepting the principle of buoyancy that you don't drown. It's accepting it and then leveraging it for the benefit that God wants flowing from it for each one of us. Notice in Galatians 6, verse 7, the Apostle Paul starts out by giving three warnings. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked, and you'll reap what you sow. He's starting off because he knows, God knows, that we're people who deceive ourselves. We're people who can buy into the deception in the world. We're people who are going to listen to the religious folks and say, hey, you read that part about grace? I mean, you need to understand that's all there is to it. Don't listen to any of this other stuff or you're going to fall into legalism. Legalism is not being obedient to God. Legalism is when you take obedience to God or what you perceive as obedience to God and think that that is the basis for your justification. That's legalism. When you move into the sanctification stage of life, knowing that you're only saved purely by grace through faith in Jesus, and you are obeying God not in order to be loved more, accepted more, forgiven more, but you're obeying God as a confirmation of who you are and out of joyful gratification to who he has, to what he's made you be, then you know, we're in the right place with that. Don't be deceived that the works we do don't matter. They do matter. I mean, you and I, we talk about it all the time here, about it being the conduits to whom God wants to see his will done on earth as it is in heaven. How do you think that happens? By work. It happens by work. It happens by effort. It happens by the choices that we choose to make. God is not going to be mocked. He's not going to be mocked. You go, well, I'm hearing what you say, but you know, I'm not buying it. Anytime we take part of God's word, what he has said, and we look at it disdainfully, or because we've never experienced it, or because we don't understand how it fits together with other parts of God's word, so we reject it, what are we doing? We're mocking God. We're mocking God. And then again, the third principle is you will reap what you sow. This is the third warning, rather. And as I said a minute ago, if you don't like what you're reaping, we need to change what we're sowing. So there are three parts to the law of sowing and reaping. One is you reap what you sow. Two is you reap more than you sow. Three is you reap after you sow. Let's unpack it a little bit. Again, you reap what you sow. What seeds you're planting matter. What you do matters. What habits you have matter. The habits you have in place are really in large part the seeds that we sow. It's important what habits we have in place because so much of our life are made up of the habits that we have. I mean, sometimes we can fall into this trap of saying, you know, I'm placing all my hope in the promises of God, and we don't do anything in connection with the hope. Hope alone isn't going to get us where we need to go. Habits carry us where hope alone won't take us. Hope gives us a direction to go in. The habits that we have establish for us the steps that we need to take to see the hope fulfilled. I mean, remember Daniel in the Old Testament, his holy habits. Prayed three times a day, obeyed God in all he did. What we see with him is what happens with us. Our decisions determine our destinies. The habits you have are going to shape what tomorrow is going to look like for you. It's true with your health. It's true with your finances. And it's true with spiritual maturity. I mean, you don't just get healthy by hoping you're going to be healthy. You don't get fit by hoping to get fit. You don't get out of debt by just hoping you're going to get out of debt. There are going to be things that have to be done. It's involving actually a kind of training that comes in with the habits. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Don't waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Instead, train yourself to be godly. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. The point is, with this, that we've said here in the past that try is a three-letter word for faith. And I'm going to retract that partially, because to try isn't really enough. There's got to be training that comes in, and not just trying. I mean, if I decide I'm going to run the Honolulu Marathon this December, and I sign up, and then I show up without having done anything, but I'm going to try. I'm going to try as hard as I can. I'm going to try until I drop. What's going to happen? Well, at 2 miles, I'll drop. On the other hand, if I go beyond the trying, and there's some training that's coupled in with that, then that can carry you through the race. There's a possibility of actually getting across the finish line. The habits that you and I have today, what we sow today, is going to shape who we become tomorrow, and that is what we reap tomorrow. With a farmer, back to the agricultural analogy, if a farmer forgets to plant any seeds in the spring, and then he just kicks back and doesn't do anything in the summer, but then wants to work hard in the fall, is he going to reap a harvest? And the answer is no. I mean, he can work as hard as he wants towards the harvest, but there's nothing to reap because there was nothing that was sown. What you plant, you harvest. And so, again, it's buying into the principle that God has put in place. Number two, second part of that, in addition to you reap what you sow, is that you reap more than you plant. Take a look at Matthew 13:8. Talking about seeds, Jesus is, in a different context, but same principle comes into play. Some seeds fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. The idea is, with sowing and reaping, you always reap more than you sow. You reap more than you sow. You plant an acorn in the ground, and what do you get? You go, you only get one oak tree. You get one oak tree that has thousands and thousands of acorns on it, is what you get. It's the same thing overall in terms of what you plant. There's a multiplication that comes into play. And then third part of that principle of reaping and sowing is you reap after you plant. You reap what you sow, you reap more than you sow, and number three, you reap after what you plant. There's a weight that's going to be involved. And this is probably the hardest part of the whole thing for us, the idea that we don't get immediate gratification. I mean, this is what distinguishes reaping and sowing from gravity and buoyancy. I mean, with gravity, you get it like that if you try to defy that law. With buoyancy, same thing. You're going to sink and drown. But with the principle of reaping and sowing, there's a gap between the sowing and the reaping. And this is where the problems come in. It's where the problems come in with habits, New Year's resolutions that we start. You know, we say, okay, I'm gonna sow into my health, into my fitness, into my finances, and we go at it hard and heavy for 3 months. I mean, we start saving $100 a month, and we quit buying a Starbucks, you know, 3 or 4 times a week. And so we actually save like $150 a month. So after 3 months, what do we have? $450. But our credit card debt was $28,000. And we go, well, this isn't making a bit of difference. And so we give up. Same thing with weight. Same thing with, I mean, you pick the physical aspect of it that you're thinking about. And you're not going to see much result very soon. But it's the long haul, the continuation, the commitment that keeps on going with it, that then sees the return. You plant and you wait, and it yields a compounded harvest. There's a great book on this that I've read a couple of times, actually. It's called The Compound Effect, a guy named Darren Hardy. You can pick it up on Amazon. We don't sell it outside, but grab it if you want to. Very short little book, but it's got so many great principles in there on this whole concept of the difference it makes. One of the opening illustrations in the book is about Ben, who wants to get better. It's about Wally, who doesn't care and gets worse. And then it's about Sam, who's in the middle, and he's just going to stay the same. And what happens with these guys? Well, they decide that they want to lose weight, they want to gain money. And so they all start off doing the same, or the guy who wants to get better starts off saving $100 a month and losing, I forget, 120 calories a day. The guy who's staying the same, he didn't change anything. The guy who's going to get worse, he starts spending an extra $100 a month, and he begins eating an extra 120 calories a day. At the end of 3 months, there's no change. They're all the same. At the end of a year, they're actually all about the same. It doesn't get until the 31st month that you see a change that actually happens, where the guy who is going for the worst actually has gained 35 pounds, and the guy who is going for the better has actually lost 35 pounds, and of course, Sam in the middle is the same as he always was. It takes time. There's a time factor that comes into play, and there's a compounding of the effect that happens over time as we stay continuous with this. And this is what, again, Paul is talking about here in terms of the spiritual implications that come in immediately. It doesn't happen, the changes, the spiritual maturity doesn't happen immediately. There's a wait. With a consistency of action in faith, things will happen as you wait. You've probably heard it before, the old choice that people are given in an illustration situation like this. Would you rather have $3 million in cash right now or a penny that doubles every day for 31 days? Now, even if you've heard the illustration before, most people still say, give me the $3 million now. And the reality is, if you get the penny that doubles daily for 31 days, it turns into $10.5 million as opposed to three. But what happens with that? What happens with that is if you've chosen the penny, when you get to day 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, you're going, I made a bad decision, because you're still nowhere near the 3 million. The multiplication, the compounding doesn't happen until the last few days. It's only through the time at the end that the compounding actually comes into play, where you actually get the big return. This holds true with investing our lives also, both positively and negatively. With debt, with marriage, with identity confusion, you lay out whatever it is that the issue is. The compounding effects of daily decisions is going to have a difference eventually. Now, again, as I said, I wanted to wind up with a hopeful note on this. God knows that some of us have not recognized the reality of sowing and reaping. We haven't read Galatians 6. We've heard this principle thrown out all over the place. We've seen it on little success magnets on refrigerators, but we didn't even know it was in the Bible, maybe. And the truth is that God is going to forgive wrong choices that we made. He's going to work out to redeem the past foolishness that we've walked in and the past sin that's gotten us caught up. We've just got to ask ourselves now, what kind of life do I want to live? Who do I want to become years from now? What legacy do I want to leave? And recognize that we've got to make some choices on what we do now, what we need to sow, what habits need to come into place to make these differences. This is a principle that applies to both Christians and non-Christians, actually. But what we're talking about here is specifically the spiritual maturity that comes to a follower of Jesus Christ. Charles Stanley, old preacher from Georgia who's retired now, who many of you may be familiar with, said one time, if you had to appear at the judgment seat in 5 minutes, what kind of crops would you show? What kind of crops would you show? And it's what we need to be asking ourselves. I mean, understanding that, again, it's not the crops that we show that determine whether we stay in heaven, whether we're a sheep or a goat, but it has everything to do with what heaven's going to look like for us. And it has everything to do with what life is going to be looking like for us right now. We are going to reap what we sow. We're going to reap more than we sow, for better or for worse. And we're going to reap after we sow, with a weight that's going to be in mind, a weight for the harvest to come. And that is a matter of faith. It's a matter of, do we believe that what God has said in His Word is true? And are we going to live a life, choose to live a life, that believes that what He said is what's going to be? I'm choosing to try to do it. I'm choosing to try and train to do it. And I'm just saying that we all ought to be in that same place, training together towards this matter of sowing in new ways, in different ways. Be praying this week. You know, where do I need to change what I'm sowing? Where am I sowing that's going to bring forth a bad harvest? Social media? Movies? I mean, I don't know what it is for you. What do I need to start sowing that's going to bring forth a good harvest? What does sowing to the Spirit mean? Well, minimally, I think it means praying, listening to God. Minimally, it means taking in His Word. Minimally, it means gathering together with other believers in order to be encouraged and knowing that that company we keep makes a difference in the harvest that we're going to eventually see. But there can be other specifics that God wants to put in place for you. And I just suggest that part of the sowing that you do this week is a sowing in of your time before the Father that says, show me. Show me some things. Show me a thing, one thing, that you want me to change now in terms of how I'm sowing. And you know, maybe that's a better way to look at it. One thing now. Wait 6 months and then ask for one more thing. And let's see, you know, how God moves us along so that we actually do get to this point of not only knowing that we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus, but also knowing that with the power of the Holy Spirit working in us, we're sowing good seeds that are going to bring forth a good harvest, which means that we're going to step into the fulfillment of the destinies that God has for every one of us. Because it is our decisions that ultimately determine the destinies that we have. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this letter to the Galatians. We thank you for the good news of the gospel of grace. And we thank you for the direction from you, Holy Spirit, in what we do with this gospel identity that we have now in walking out the days that you've got in front of us. We want to be people through whom you do your will on earth as it is in heaven. And show us what it's supposed to look like for each one of us, Father, and for us corporately together. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.